Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to another edition of Football Theory. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Davis, joined by, of course, the coach. I don't really do him justice in my intro, but I'll do my best. He is a former high school football coach at Capel, Brownwood, Belton, Burnett, also Rotan. He's a former college football coach and player, also played college football at Abilene Christian, coach there, multiple stints. Also was on the staff at Texas for five different seasons and had multiple different roles there. I can't even list them all. And now you can catch his work over at ShipleyRanches.com. He is Coach Bob Shipley. What's going on, Coach? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Just trying to get my rain gear out and umbrella out for Saturday, baby.
I know. I'm a little nervous. They don't reschedule spring games. So, and let me know this, Coach. Don't you think Sark would be, would Sark be thrilled or disappointed if it this spring game is rained out? Would he be thrilled or disappointed? As a coach, let me know. Tell me the truth.
Yeah, I think he'd look at the bright side, you know. Yeah. Hey, nobody got injured today, baby. Nobody got injured.
Yeah, because, okay, let me ask you this, Coach. Does the game count as one of the practices, or are the practices separate than the game?
Yes,
it counts? So you get to make that practice up, but just not in – Not with the game and the crowd and all the hoopla. You basically get to make that practice up, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you can. As long as you have so many days to get in so many practices. So
you have to
go back to the start of, you know, when they actually started and make sure that they get it all done in that time frame. But I'm sure they could come back on Monday or Tuesday and have a practice if they wanted to. But, you know, at that point, I don't know that it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, no, it's a good point there. But yeah, we'll see. We're all holding out hope that the weather cooperates this Saturday so that we can watch some Texas football. But speaking of this Saturday, spring.
I was going to say, speaking of spring games, did you see what Ole Miss is doing?
Yeah, they're doing like a field day, right? Something like they're just like doing like different like random.
All kinds of silly stuff. I mean, nobody wants to come see that.
Yeah, they're doing basically, they're just playing games. It's like a field day. You have a field day back in elementary school where you play all the different games and like dodgeball. They're doing all this kind of crazy stuff. That's no 7-on-7, I think. I think 7-on-7 they're going to do. But other than that, no actual football. Just, you know, a celebration of football, but no football involved. So, I don't know. Does that count as one of your practices, though? That's why it's a waste to me.
I would think it probably would. And, you know, I mean, what Sark could do, I don't think he would, but what he could do, if it's like raining, thundering, lightning, all the stuff, he could just go have a scrimmage in the bubble. I mean, you know, if you really wanted a scrimmage, he could do it in the bubble. He might want to, you know, you might want to go through and do some, you know, some pass protection stuff, some blitz pickup, red zone stuff, whatever they think they need to work on. But I think at this point, if you hadn't worked on it yet, you're probably not going to until training camp.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Yeah, coach definitely want to get those reps in. You take those practices, man. You can't waste those, not at all. So speaking of the spring game, hopefully, like I said, weather cooperates. And Sark has not revealed the format, by the way, of the spring game. So we have no idea if they do have a spring game, what it's going to look like. One versus twos, mixing and matching, draft. They don't know if he's going to let Jeff Banks and PK coach teams. We have no idea what's going to happen there. We do want to get into, you know, the actual X's and O's a little bit. Last week we talked about, you know, some of the favorite run concepts that you see from Texas that you're definitely going to see in the spring game. You're going to see the inside zone. You're going to see the wide zone, split inside zone. You're going to see that counter tray. Those are like the favorite run concepts. So we'll talk about the favorite kind of passing concepts you're also going to see from Texas. There are some staples. If I was, you know, game planning to prepare to defend a Steve Sarkisian offense and a Texas offense based on the film, I know there are some plays you're just going to see once, maybe twice in the game that you've seen all season long. They're kind of go-to plays for Sark, especially in the passing game. And spring is all about the staples in your offense. Once you get past the fundamental stage of learning the fundamentals and the technique, you get into the staples of that offense, the staples of that defense, what they do really well, what they specialize in. So I want to get into some of those kind of those passing concepts for Texas, and get your thoughts about that, Coach. And something we'll definitely end up seeing in the spring game, whether it be Quinn or whether it be Arch or whether it's Trey Owens, Cole Lord, whoever ends up being the quarterback at the time. So we'll get into that. Before we do, though, let's thank our wonderful sponsor, Laura Baker. She's always great. Football Theory brought to you by accomplished Austin realtor Laura Baker. And Laura Baker and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. So give her a shout today at 512-784-0505. That's 512-784-0505. All right, Coach. And aside from concepts in terms of the passing game, you know, we'll get into some of these specifics here in a second. But what do you expect to see in the passing game? We know that they're not going to, you know, you're not going to see any new reveals. There's not going to be any new wrinkles, anything like that, right? He's not divulging the secrets and the new concepts and cheat codes that he's acquired and he's implementing in the offseason. You're not going to get that, but you will get the staples. I mean, these are things that Texas has already shown in Sark's 3 years here. And if you've been watching his offense, you know that some things are just a part of it. What are you expecting to see from the passing game in the spring game from the Sark offense?
We're going to see a lot of deep balls, I think. You know, we're going to see a lot of crossing routes, just see some people try to get in zones, open area zones, and RPOs. You know, I think it's going to be base vanilla, but I do think you're going to see some receivers challenging some DBs down the field for sure. So that's what I'm expecting. Like you said, it's going to be vanilla. It's going to be stuff that they've done, been their staples through the 3 years, maybe stuff they did this past year, new wrinkles. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to see anything new. And he might have a wrinkle or two he throws in there. Sometimes you just throw it in there going, you know what, I'm really not going to pursue this, but I want to get it out there on tape so that other people have to work on it, you know. Maybe a fleeting idea you had that you go, you know what, it's probably not going to work for us. I don't want to spend that much time working on it, but I'm going to show it just to give people something to work on.
I like that. No, yeah, Sark is that kind of coach too. I'm with you. That does make a lot of sense. Just to throw it out there and put it on film. I want to see it on film. I agree with you about the deep ball. I think we're going to see the deep ball. And I will say that if you just, you know, talk about the deep ball, I think you're going to see it from all the quarterbacks. I think early on and often, I think you might get to double digit attempts of deep balls with all the quarterbacks combined. Quinn, Arch. Yeah, you're over under seven, Coach? You go over under seven? I think you're going to get nine. I'll go nine as my over under. I think he's going to launch it a lot just because I think he wants to test them DBs too, Coach.
Yeah.
I think he wants to test them DBs to see, because remember, what did the DBs give up late in the season when they started playing more aggressive bump and run coverage? Deep balls. Mm-hmm. Deep balls to Washington. Even Oklahoma State in the Big 12 title game completing some deep balls. So they were playing more aggressive man coverage, but giving up those shot plays. I think Sark's going to test them young DBs too. I think he wants to see if his deep ball is converting, but also test the young DBs. Just so folks know, Quinn Ewers last season completed 33%, basically a third of his passes that traveled 20-plus yards in the air. That was good for around 75th in the country. I think this year you want to see him completing between maybe over 35%. It'd be great if he's like above 37%, somewhere around there. 40% is considered, you know, you're in the upper echelons there. You're one among the elite in the country if you're completing that. So I think Quinn will improve on the deep ball. I think we're going to see that. Also, Sark in motion. We've talked about this a lot too. Sark loves motions and shifts. And he had Sean McVay at the coaching clinic. So he had him in town. Sean McVay, also in the NFL, one of the coaches who uses a lot of pre-snap motions and shifts. I'll throw this out there. If you look at the NFL and teams who use the most motions and the most shifts, like motion period, the Rams are second in the NFL at 70% of their plays. They have some types of motion or shift pre-snap. The Miami Dolphins, they lead the NFL at 82%. They're down at 83% of their plays have motion. Sark is hovering between 50 and 55%. My prediction is this year he's going to increase that rate, Coach, because honestly the NFL average right now is probably somewhere around 50 to 55%. So Sark is around the NFL average, which, you know, his NFL ties, it makes sense. And from that Shanahan coaching tree as well, they use a lot of shifts and motions. I think he needs to be, I think actually, and what's crazy about it now, like I said, he's average And you really make the even argument now that he's below average in terms of motion rate in his offense. The Dolphins are at 82%. I know this is NFL, but I'm just in Sark's offense is actually a West Coast pro style offense. 49ers are at 70%. Rams are at 69%. Kansas City Chiefs at 62%. The Lions at 61%. These are the most cutting edge progressive offenses in the NFL. Also offenses that we know that Sark studies because he studies the Shanahan coaching tree. Mike, that includes the Dolphins, Mike McDaniel, that includes obviously Sean McVay, that includes Shanahan himself. And he also admits to stealing plays from the best offensive minds. Andy Reid is the best offensive mind in football. And the Detroit Lions have one of the best young up-and-coming minds in football on the offensive side of the ball. I wouldn't doubt this year if we see Sark's usage of motion coach, it increased to about 60, maybe even 65%. More so than we've ever seen it. It will be a challenge, though, because that presents opportunities for, pre-snap penalties because you got a lot of moving parts and you got a lot of guys who are not veterans to your offense. You got newcomers to your offense. Amari Nyblack, Isaiah Bond, Matthew Golden, Silas Bolden, Jonathan Brooks is dad. So you got some younger guys, C.J. Baxter and Jaden Blue. They've been around a while, but these guys have not played as much as Jonathan Brooks. So I worry about the pre-snap penalties because a lot of the moving parts with newcomers, but I think he wants to increase that usage. So there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think that's right. One thing you also have to realize is, though, you sometimes, as you know, being a former DB for a number of years, you can disguise coverages.
Yep.
So when you're motioning and shifting, sometimes you force the defense into playing their hand, okay, yep. man or zone. But still, sometimes it can be a disadvantage for the offense because you don't know what they're going to be in by the time your guys have finished shifting and finished their motion. You don't know for sure what they're going to be in. So the quarterback's got to be great at reading during his drop what the coverage is. And so do the receivers, because some of the receivers' routes are going to depend on the coverage. You know, if you can't get over the top, then that route is going to stem into a different route, you know. And so it is effective. It puts a defense in a bind, but it can also put the offense in a bind because you don't have the privilege of seeing everybody in a stagnant situation and know pretty much from your first couple of steps back into your drop what the coverage is going to be as you see them rotating.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. You definitely, as a defense, you're forced to abandon disguise when they start moving and shifting around because you got to get to your work. You got to get to your work right away. So you abandon that shell disguise and you try to make sure, hey, that my alignment and my assignment are top priority at that time. So I totally agree with you there, Coach. Yeah, but it's one of the vital signs of Sark's offense is pre-snap motions and shifts. And, you know, throughout the years, he's been really successful when targeting players who are obviously in motion or prior to the snap or at the time of the snap. And that's one of kind of the cheat codes that he uses. I think he'll use more of it. All right, let's get to some of the concepts passing-wise, some of the passing concepts that you're sure to see or at least most likely to see in the spring game because Sark's not going to show you a lot. All right, it's pretty vanilla, but these are vanilla because these are the basic staples of the Sark offense. And Sark even admits he has an RPO-based passing game. That essentially is the heart of his passing game. I call it a deception-based passing game, Coach, because more than half of his passing concepts are play-action pass or RPOs. So it's all about deceiving the defense in a deception-based passing game. So if you go look at it in terms of the concept that he likes the most, you're going to get inside zone bubble RPOs. And essentially, the run concept is an inside zone, as we talked about last week, one of their favorite run concepts. But they're going to have that bubble screen on the opposite side. That's the tag. And they'll run it sometimes with motion. You'll see whether it's Xavier Worthy motion and then bubble out and become that bubble screen. And then you'll see, obviously, Quinn Ewers, depending on what the defense gives him. If he has the numbers advantage in the box, he'll hand it off. He doesn't have the numbers advantage. Boom, out to the one-on-ones on the outside. Jay Witt usually being a great blocker there. So that's the bubble RPO. You see a lot of that. And you even see that with there's a wide zone bubble RPO. Essentially, same concept, coming off the wide zone concept. And in addition to the bubble RPO, there's the inside zone glance RPO. Well, the number two receiver has that glance route, essentially a skinny post down the field. The run concept, the inside zone, the passing concept, one tag is that skinny post. These are basic staples of the Sark offense. Also, you're going to see that that counter tray RPO. They're just taking whatever their favorite run concepts are that we just mentioned, the wide zone, the inside zone, the counter tray. They have the tag off of it, which is the RPO concept. Those are basic principles in Sark's offense, and you definitely will see them in the spring game. The favorite run concepts, as we talked about, but tagged with an RPO to force the defense to have to respect the RPO, basically the RPO version of that specific same run concept.
Yeah, I think that's very, very accurate. Another thing I wanted to add is, I wanted to ask you, as a DB, when you see shifting and motioning, I would think as an offensive coordinator, you want the DBs to have to be thinking. They want to have to, I mean, you know, we've talked about this before, Rod. When you're sitting there and there's no motion, there's no shifting or anything, it's so much easier for a DB because you don't have to, you already know what the call is. All you got to do is just react. How does it affect, what goes through the DB's mind as you see the motioning and shifting, and how much does that affect the coverage that you have called? And do you have an automatic default coverage that you go to when you see all of a sudden you had three receivers on your side and now you have one receiver on your side? Do you automatically check to different coverage? How does that work for you as a DB?
There's usually a fail safe built into the coverage where, you know, if we go from a 3x1 set to, you know, they motion and then we end up in a 2x2 set and go from a bunch to just a tight twins, that we go from zoning up that look. And maybe the point man, which is the guy on the line of scrimmage, maybe they man him up with a guy playing press in a trip set. And then we play what they call, tango, they're different names for it. We play inside outside on those two receivers, cause we know in a bunch set, they're going to be trying to pick us and rub us. So that's kind of there's, you know, we got to communicate beforehand, but you can obviously play that in a certain way. You can zone it up, if you will, and play tango. You can bump the coverages with the motions, right? You bump them. So essentially they call it rock and roll it. So if they kind of bump the strength. So if the man motions all the way across the formation, then we can just rock and roll it. Everybody bumps over, the cover bumps over one guy. That's what Andy Reid took advantage of when he beat the Philadelphia Eagles on that corn dog play or whatever it was. They didn't bump the coverage all the way over. They halfway bumped it over. Texas got in trouble with this a little bit in the Oklahoma game. When they motioned across, and then Texas adjustment was they didn't adjust to the two-man route combination after those got bumped over, and that busted coverage essentially is what allowed the touchdown versus Oklahoma, because they didn't bump the coverage all the way. If they had bumped it all the way over, then everybody would have been properly aligned on their right, on the right guy. But they didn't. So there are different ways you can handle it. That the structural integrity of the defense won't be too threatened with motions and shifts. Now, if you're shadowing that guy and you're on him the entire time, then you're a lot of flexibility within your defense. I'm on the outside at number one receiver. I'm guarding him, and he motions. He's a Z. He motions all the way inside, and then he becomes the number two receiver. Then your defense needs to be malleable and flexible enough, and hopefully it's just you're playing man coverage. If you're not playing man, you're playing some sort of zone or some type of combination of it, then your defense has got to be flexible enough where, or you have versatility, where you got a guy that's like a Jadae Barron who can go from corner and then basically end up being the nickel at the number two. Or if he bumps all the way over, I can bump all the way over to the other side of the formation and become the slot corner on that side. But your defense has got to have a lot of, like I said, flexibility and malleability to do that to happen. So every coach has got a different way to approach motion. But There's no doubt. Coach, listen to how long it takes me just to explain the fail states of defense. It happens in a split second. Most of the time, that's why all these great offensive minds are using a ton of motion. Most of the time, motion is going to give you a leverage advantage. It's going to give you an identifier advantage, like you said, so you can identify if it's man, if it's zone, because the defense has to play their hand in abandoned disguise. There are so many great – and now they're using it to give you a straight-up speed advantage. They call it cheat motion. Where they put, and Sark used it too, and they put the fastest player on the field, like X-Man or Tyreek Hill. You put him in motion laterally to the line of scrimmage, which you can do almost like Canadian League football, except they're actually, you know, approaching the line of scrimmage in motion, but then he gets a running start and you get him. Yeah, and as a DB, I got to cover him on the run, but I'm standing flat footed. Imagine that with Xavier Worthy. I mean, that just ain't fair. And that's why, if I look at the stats, coach, I've been tracking them for a couple of years. Anytime Sark's quarterbacks throw the football to a player in motion, that's in motion prior to the snap or the time of the snap, this was in 2022, 80% completion percentage and a damn near 30% explosive play rate. Those numbers are mind-boggling, but it's because it is such a cheat code. It's such a huge advantage. And yes, the argument should be made. They should throw the ball more to guys who are in motion prior to the snap or at the time of the snap. Big-time advantage.
The fun thing is when you have a fast guy that's going in motion – and you see a DB who may be a little bit late, and he's going, oh, there he goes. He's going across the formation, and he just puts his head down and runs behind the linebacker. Then all of a sudden the ball snapped, and you got, and the receiver changes directions and wheels it up the backside sideline. He's wide open because the other guy, he's just hauling butt to get across the formation to get out of all the mess. Because that ball snapped while he's in the middle of that formation. He could get picked by one of his own players or whatever. So he's hauling butt across the formation trying to get that guy. But all of a sudden, he doesn't cross the quarterback. And when the ball snapped, he takes off and goes the other way. Now that DB, he may not even see it sometimes.
Not even see it. It's exactly right, coach. That's why you end up with so much confusion and guys end up wide open. And you're right. They call it jet return motion, orbit return motion. When that guy, he acts like he's flying across the formation and then he boom, quick, puts the foot in the ground and comes right back and returns. And then sometimes you can toss it right there out there to him, and he's wide open. Wide open. And like I said, and when Sark does it, like I said, guys, 80% completion percentage and a 30% explosive play rate when he targets players who are in motion prior to the snap at the time of snap. That was in 2022. In 2023, it's 78% completion percentage, 10 yards per attempt. Also 10 yards per attempt in 2023, 23% explosive play rate when you target a player that was in motion at the time of the snap or prior to the snap. It works. It works. In 2021, 81% completion percentage. How about this? 32% first down touchdown rate in 2021, targeting players who were in motion prior to the snap or the time of the snap. It works. He should do more of it. It works really, really well. All right, a couple other more concepts I think you're going to see. Obviously, we talked about the deep ball, but what Sark threw out last season when the deep ball wasn't working as well, when they couldn't convert a lot of those deep balls, he threw out those deep play action pass curl routes, and that became one of their little favorite concepts to stretch the defense. Quinn's the only one I've seen that really could throw it. Maybe Arch can throw that. You got Malik could do it because Malik's arm was popped. That is a throw, coach, that only NFL guys make them kind of throws. You ain't supposed to be having to defend 19, 18-yard curl routes like that. But Sark does, like, max protection, and they throw them deep downfield. They got, like, a 40% explosive play rate when they throw those deep play-action pass curls. So watch out for that. That's something you also may end up seeing. There's a concept they call dagger, which is basically a vertical route by number two, a six route, dig route by number one on the outside, and then you got that drag route or that deep over route. Some people do a deep over. Some people do a drag route. Sark loves dagger. He's a big fan of it, and you may see that. That's one of the ones he likes to bring the crowd on their feet, and you have those deep kind of over routes. That's one to watch, too. How about the play-action flood? He loves those flood concepts. Throws a ton of them out there. He used to use, you know, JT Sanders on those flood routes. We just flood one area of the field with three different levels of a route combination. The slide, kind of that wheel glance RPO. That you know what I'm talking about, Coach. That's the number two is running that wheel route. Number one runs that post route. That running back out of the backfield kind of runs that. It's not a flare route. It's kind of an arrow route right out to the flats. That's also one of his favorite concepts, too. I'll put money on it. You're probably going to see something like that. And they love mesh. I mean, mesh is something they run a ton of. They don't run it as well as they need to. They actually struggle with it sometimes. But you're going to see mesh out there because Sark loves to run it on third down. And what some call a Y cross, which is the tight end sometimes running that deep over route, but Sark runs it with the Z receivers at times who run motion from the trip set or sometimes from a bunt set, and then they'll run that deep over route. And he'll run two kind of those rainbow crossers and those deep overs. That's also one of Sark's favorite. You gotta know how to defend that if you play a Sark team. He's going to run them deep rainbow crossers on you, those deep over routes. So those are some of the concepts that if I am putting money on what you're going to see in the staples of the Sark offense, those are a few I would definitely see during the spring game.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it also depends on, how many snaps Quinn gets,
Yeah.
Any new stuff, whatever, we're going to see. I'm sure they'll probably have a couple of wrinkles in there the defense hasn't seen yet this spring, especially for the number ones, so if they can have a little bit of success and throw some new wrinkles in there, because you know how it is. You've been seeing the same plays 13, 14, 15
yeah, you have.
In a row, So you got to throw in a couple of wrinkles, for the game just to make it interesting, especially if you're not having any luck moving the ball.
Yes, that's a great point, Coach. That's a good point. If the offense isn't getting some type of yards and some momentum generated, Sark going to throw in one of them funky plays. Yeah, that sounds like a coach right there. You can't let an offense get humiliated in the spring game. No, you can't let that happen. I agree with that. All right, before we get out of here, let's thank our wonderful sponsor, Laura Baker. Football Theory is brought to you by accomplished Austin realtor Laura Baker and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams. They can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. Give her a shout at 512-784-0505. That's 512-784-0505. All right, Coach, thank you very much for the time. As always, I always learn so much sitting down here talking ball with you, so I appreciate the time. Also, thank Laura Baker for her wonderful support, and thank all of you for watching and listening. We appreciate that. And Football Theory will be back next week, and until then, and we'll be talking spring game, of course. But until then, hook 'em horns.